Extra time.
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's me, your host, Patrick Van Straten, and today I'm joined by Chris Hamill. Hello, Chris.
Hello, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are things with you?
I'm looking a bit red on my camera right now. I promise you I've not become an alcoholic in the second lockdown. Very pink complexion.
Interesting. I mean, I wouldn't have actually thought about the alcoholism thing until you brought it up.
So. And the nervous laughter that followed, yeah.
Yeah, interesting from you. Well, today we've got quite an interesting topic for the podcast as well, right? Because we figured that we do a little bit of a mailbag. People could ask us for players for a particular price point for a particular club, and we try and find some interesting guys around Europe that they might be, I don't know. I don't know if these guys would necessarily be on the radar of recruitment sides, but they're people that we think are worth taking a gander at, right?
Yeah, and it's going to be quite a random assortment, like you said. And I didn't really want to prepare like we normally do in a traditional sense where it's quite structured. We go through the like prerequisite numbers, don't we? I wanted this to be a little bit more on the spot, a bit more random. And I think you were on a similar page, weren't you? So let's see where we go. But I'm going to rely on you in terms of navigating our way around the Premier League and flagging who needs what.
All right, well, let's start with an interesting one. This topic comes up pretty regularly, and understandably so. Jamie Vardy obviously still is tearing it up at Leicester. But Mayuk10Waza on Twitter wants to know, can we find Leicester a striker for around £20 million? Now, I assume this has got to be somebody who's younger than Vardy, which shouldn't be too hard, but somebody who's kind of willing to sit on the bench a reasonable amount, maybe play some cup games, or maybe who can deputise out wide for a little bit while Vardy continues to play. It's quite a difficult slot, I think, when you've got a side who have such an established striker. But now that Vardy's 33, I think, rather than kind of 29, maybe it's a little bit easier to sell a youngster on the possibility of succeeding him as the central striker for Leicester. So what have you got, man?
They've got some assets they can part way with as well, haven't they, Leicester? Like, hopefully if they got some money back for Eozie Perez, that could go into a striker. They've got Slimani sort of sitting on the peripheries. So there's a couple of movable assets in the attacking third wherein they can generate some funds. So maybe we can slap that on top of the 20 mil that that fine gent that you just mentioned has given us, because it's actually really, really difficult to shop for a striker that's going to make an immediate impact in the top six positions in the Premier League, maybe top eight, if we're going to be give ourselves a little bit more bandwidth right away. So I think for that price point, we're kind of looking at a project player, but I suppose that's what makes it more interesting, right? It might have just been easier if Leicester had kept Kramaric. It definitely would have been easier had they just persevered with him, because his numbers at Hoffenheim have been absolutely frightening, haven't they, for the last two or three seasons. But alas, wasn't the case. But I think we're probably looking at a similar scenario to that, wherein Hoffenheim managed to pick up a player of that calibre for cheap because his numbers were underappreciated or he didn't get enough minutes, right? So I think we're looking to try and find the sweet spot, maybe at one of Europe's big clubs, where someone is just not being used properly and thus their value is sort of plummeting. So we're seeing Moise Kean play really well now at PSG, aren't we, after pretty much rotting on the bench at Everton for a season. And I imagine if you inquired about Moise Kean on a permanent basis, you know, Marcel Brands & Co. might have been willing to part ways with around £20 million. I don't know what you think about that. Just as a general approach, like, let's go after someone whose stock has fallen, first and foremost, maybe.
Yeah, I think there's often an edge to be got there. Like, especially these clubs that don't have top-level financial power, I think that the advantage of being in that position is that you don't have to sell your fans in quite the same way that, say, a Man United or a Chelsea do. Like, what frustrates me is when people say, oh, we can't sign that player because he's not a Man United player, whatever. In the long run, that stuff makes you worse, because when clubs say, well, we actually don't mind taking this person who's perceived as a flop, they often get somebody who's pretty good. Like, look at Lyon taking Memphis Depay off Man United. Like, these players can be had. Kean is extremely young. extremely young, has always had great shot numbers in the box. He's fast. He had some good dribble numbers as well when he was at Juve. Like you say, he's excelling now. Though at the same time, you know, PSG kind of, like, Choupo-Moting looked kind of useful there. And I think that, you know, if you are a striker playing for PSG, you're going to get chances. That's not to say that you're not good, but I think Ken makes pretty good sense. And I think if PSG don't make him permanent at the end of the season, I don't know if they've got an option to do that, but obviously they could go and pay something for him, then this would be quite an interesting one for Leicester. I think it's quite smart.
I spent the last year sort of saying that Leicester should maybe go for André Silva, and I feel like this might be a similar campaign. Because in that 17-18 season, of course, when Milan spent, what, 35 million euros, was it? Perhaps not pounds, but euros. And he didn't quite... Well, I mean, that's underselling it. He had a terrible first season, didn't he? But his numbers were still solid. He was underperforming against XG. Probably should have got more goals when he was on loan at Sevilla. And then he had that brilliant second half to the season at Eintracht Frankfurt. And all of a sudden, that opportunity had sort of gone because Frankfurt signed him on a permanent. It was rumoured to be around 9 million euros and Rebic went the other way. So I don't know if we're slapping Rebic's value on top of that either. But that felt like a very good deal for Eintracht. Because I think Silva was 24 at the time, might be 25 now. But he's off to a flyer again this season, 7-9. And I think he was last season's top goal scorer as well, 12-16. So that's the sort of player that I think is out there for £20 million, but they come along not very often. So yeah, Ken might be, you know, the André Silva of this season going into next season. What about Sarabia or Draxler at PSG? Not necessarily strikers, but people that can perhaps contribute in the final third whose value is bottomed out, like I said. Maybe not Sarabia as much as Draxler, right, but still.
Sarabia's played quite a lot this season and his numbers have been quite good. I don't think you get him. But Draxler, I think, is approaching the end of his deal. My issue with Draxler is, yeah, that he's not a striker. And I feel like, you know, you've got Cengiz Under in there who can feasibly take that spot on the right wing. I feel like your wings are kind of okay now. I'd be much more inclined to spend this money on a striker because of the financial limits, like, as we've talked about. I don't know. The interesting thing about someone like André Silva is that stylistically, he's actually quite similar to a Kramaric, in my view, and actually quite similar to an Iheanacho as well. Like, these are the guys who want to drop a bit deeper and get involved in play, which is literally the polar opposite of what Jamie Vardy does. Jamie Vardy almost never touches the ball in a match. This is why I get annoyed when you see a striker have a bad game and people say, you know, he only touched the ball 10 times. It's like, Jamie Vardy's made a career off doing that.
Yeah, but he's also made 300 runs that we're not, you know, accounting for in that time as well. But
yeah, though I think this season, something like 40% of Jamie Vardy's shot attempts have come from penalties. So that's obviously a factor as well. But I think that you want somebody in there who's at least somewhat stylistically similar to Vardy, just so the transition is a little bit easier. So it's not like you play completely differently as you ease this person into the team. So I think Ken makes more sense from that point of view as somebody who is capable of kind of running in behind, which isn't really what I see Silva is doing. I mean, a place that I think is quite interesting to look this season is Stuttgart, because Stuttgart, do you know who runs Stuttgart's recruitment?
No.
It's run by ex-Arsenal technical guy Sven Mislintat.
And
as a result, they recruit extremely young and get a lot of guys who are a little bit underrated. So the only team in the Bundesliga, I think, with a lower average age than Stuttgart is Leipzig. And when you look in their team, they've got so many young guys who they've picked up. You know, like Tongi Koulibaly, he came in from PSG's academy. They've got a guy called Silas Wamangituka, who came in from Paris FC in 2019 for about 7 million quid. He's 21. He's Congolese. He can play up front or as a winger. He's mostly played up front this season. He's got 5 goal involvements already and about 0.5 XG per 90. Bearing in mind that this is a team that came up from the second division last year. And you can see that there's a clear statistical profile that Stuttgart are kind of looking for. I think 6 of their players are completing more than 1.5 dribbles a game. And one of those is Wamangituka, who's on about 1.7. He's also a really hard presser. I think he's got 3.5 tackles and interceptions a game for somebody playing as a striker, which is pretty obscene, really. Mm. And yeah, just offers pace, offers technical ability, good shot numbers, good XG numbers, really good age. But actually, Stuttgart's full of these guys. They've got Nicolas Gonzalez as well, who I remember talking about a few years ago. He's there now. And I think he's taking over 5 shots a game so far this season, 22-year-old Argentinian striker. And a guy who I've been keeping an eye on every week or so, who is an Austrian, a 23-year-old Austrian striker called Sasa Kalajdzic. Now, they brought in Kalajdzic from Admira Vaca for $2.25 million. He's 6'6". He's a striker as well. He's a really interesting prospect. I mean, that size alone makes him kind of interesting to me. But when you dig into his numbers as well, he's taking 3.5 shots a game, but also creating 2 chances.
Yeah.
He's got 6 goals and assists in the league so far. He's at something like 0.7 XG per 90, and also is like 19 pressures a game, 5 pressure regains a game, like somebody who's pressing really, really hard. And you can imagine how terrifying it is to be pressed by a guy who's 6'6". I think he's like quite an... I'm not sure that he's necessarily a Leicester prospect, but he's definitely an intriguing striker prospect. Like if I was looking to take a gamble on a young striker, I think this guy cost them 2 mil. I reckon I could probably get him for 15 to 20. That's very little for somebody who's 23 years old and has this good a statistical profile. So obviously you want to wait and see how these guys do. You know, their sample size in the Bundesliga is still very, very small, except for Gonzalez. But by the end of the season, if Kalajdzic is keeping up these underlying numbers, I think he'd be a really sensible signing for a team. You know, like Brighton, we've also got Brighton on our list. Somebody was asking about Brighton. Donahue_Moss, he said that he wanted an attacker for Brighton because they're obviously struggling to put away their chances so far this season. Mopé has been kind of in and out of the lineup. Danny Welbeck's actually been great. Mm. But again, they could do with a striker or some sort of attacking player too. I don't know if you've got anybody who might make sense for Brighton, because we know that their kind of their recruitment philosophy, I suppose, aligns more with ours than a lot of clubs.
Yeah, I've got a couple of options. We can come back to them in just a sec. I wanted to ask you, do you think there'll be a temptation when Leicester replace Jamie Vardy to go lights out, to spend big on a proven goal scorer, because he will leave such a vacuum? And if so, do you think, you know, Leicester are going to ignore a lot of these good prospects below 30 mil?
It depends who they go for. Like, if they go and spend a load of money on someone who I think is great, I don't have an issue with it at all. I mean, in a way, though, I think that Vardy's decline, shots-wise, and the number of his goals that come from penalties, mean that actually whoever comes in after him is going to kind of have a difficult job. Not necessarily because Vardy's scoring so many open play goals, but just because he wins so many penalties and then converts them. Mm. I think that's going to be a big change for Leicester. But I actually think their all-round game could probably improve with an all-round player. If they went out and said, you know what, we're going to spend big, and they think they can get, say, Moussa Dembélé off Lyon, I have no issue with that at all. I think that's perfectly sensible. But to be honest with you, I think they've been pretty lucky over the last few seasons that they haven't had to deal without Vardy for a long stretch. So if I were Leicester now, I would probably be looking at signing 2 guys who could play centre forward anyway. So I think that you could easily say, you know what, we've still got some of the Chilwell money in the bank. We're going to go out and we're going to get like a Moussa Dembélé or an Odson Édouard. And we're also going to take a sort of 15 million euro gamble on, you know, Munir Shriar or somebody else who can play wide and maybe could one day play striker.
Yeah, for sure.
I think doing a couple of things is always sensible, just because of injuries and you don't know how people will adjust.
Well, I'm glad you arrived or went down that avenue, because that's where I was going to go next. Maybe we split this, you know, into 2 £20 million signings or a 30 and a 15, for example, because I was going to go to Odson Édouard. I'm not sure Moussa Dembélé is going to go to Leicester because his relationship with Brendan Rodgers broke down over that whole failed move to the Premier League, right? Or Brendan Rodgers saying that the player's head had been turned when he insisted it hadn't, et cetera, et cetera. So I think teams, particularly Leicester, where they're quite fluid up front. We've seen Harvey Barnes operate down the centre a few times this season, particularly in that sort of 5-3-2 away from home against the big sides, right? I think they're going to struggle to find a player maybe more versatile and with a higher ceiling than Alton Edouard for 35 mil. And now that Celtic, sorry, are guaranteed... well, they aren't guaranteed any European football past Christmas because we're going to finish bottom of our Europa League group, and we've failed to get past the second round of the Champions League qualification stage for, you know, I think it's no Champions League football in the last 3-4 seasons on the bounce. I think prizing him away from Celtic, given the current economic climate, will be pretty easy, both from a personal standpoint and a fiscal one. So yeah, I think he's a good shout. We've always kind of sung Moussa Barrow's praises as well, right? I think he could probably apply to Leicester or Brighton, because he's someone else that can play on that left-hand side, that at the moment is creating almost as many chances as he is taking himself. I think he's creating around 5 shot-taking actions, possibly closer to 6 per 90. So I think he could be a really good option to explore as well. Only going at around 0.5 expected goals and assists per 90. So maybe some of those assists or some of those shots are a little bit speculative. And maybe Bologna, you know, they're not creating high-quality opportunities for one another. I think they're pretty middling side at the moment, right? But 2 goals in his first 6 appearances. I'm not sure how it fared in the recent match weeks, but he might be a good option. I quite like him. But at Brighton, I think they could go for someone like Buendia, and Mbappe's numbers benefit from just having a more proficient creator down the middle. Because at the moment, it's like when they take Lamptey out the side, I feel like they lose a lot of sort of gusto going forward. They're very reliant on Solly March down that left.
Yeah, I mean, he does seem to fit their style as well. Like, I mean, I can't quite believe that he ended up staying at Norwich over the summer. And given that Trossard has kind of, you know, been on the bench a little bit recently, I like Connolly. I think Connolly's actually quite promising, and he's really annoying to play against.
Proper nuisance,
Had a really good game against Liverpool and was unfortunate to be taken off, but I think that's just managers trying to preserve their important players going into Christmas. I think Buendia would make a lot of sense, because these are the players, like Edouard to Leicester, actually. This is a perfect example of where you have that... that slight advantage maybe over slightly bigger sides, because while bigger sides are kind of debating, you know, like, is this guy good enough to come in and be a starting centre forward for, I don't know, Man United or Spurs or whoever it might be? If you're Leicester, you can go in and just put the money down. You have the money to do it. And if you have the confidence in your recruitment strategy, then you can just go for somebody like Edouard while other people are kind of humming and hawing and often get a really, really good player. Like, I think that's what kind of what they did with Tielemans. It's kind of what they did with Pereira. I mean, Buendia, I sort of thought that we'd see a smart side like Brighton or Leicester maybe make a late move for him in the summer when nobody else did. But who knows? Norwich might come back up and he gets another season in the Prem and then moves on. I mean, the thing is, actually, I think there are a lot of interesting young forward types around. I mean, Jean-Philippe Mateta at Mainz is back in form. Obviously, we talked about him back in the 18-19 season when he got 14 league goals. Last year, only played about 1,000 minutes, had a torn meniscus, had a bit of a rough one. But this season has started the season in the form of his life, really. I mean, he's got 8 goal involvements in 9 appearances so far. Non-penalty expected goals and assists per 90 of about 0.9. He's still 23. He's not 24 till the end of the season. I think that he's definitely somebody who you'd be able to get off Mainz for a very, very reasonable fee. And there's a part of me that doesn't like him and doesn't like some of these players as much as I like, say, you know, Daniel Malen or Cody Gakpo, like coming out of the Eredivisie, but they've played in a top league.
Yeah.
And Malen and Gakpo, these people end up being a slightly unknown quantity just because they are playing in a division whose strength is at best variable.
Yeah. What do you think to someone like Alexander Isak then? On that note, I feel like he's a very similar profile, not playing wise, but in terms of stature, as someone like Daniel Malin, where I think we rate him really highly, and I think he's got a really high ceiling. Obviously, Sociedad are flying right now. 9 goals in 14 starts, was it last campaign? But maybe the big clubs aren't necessarily thinking about him as a candidate. Like, he's still viewed as a project player. I feel like he's one of those signings that the football stats nerds love more so than the sort of, you know, mainstream scouts, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, again, the sample size is still quite small. I don't know. Like, to me, Isak would actually be one of my top targets if I was looking for a striker. Because he is so young, because of his physical size, because of his pace, because he's currently playing for a very, very good side. But yeah, I mean, the talk about him is relatively limited. In a way, I kind of think Sociedad might be interested in selling if a club came in for him, because I think at some point they are going to have to sell. Mm. Like, they're going to have a great attacking season this year. They already are. And I think that often means people are going to come in for your forwards. And I think if it's a choice between selling Isak or selling Oyarzabal or something, I think that they would choose to sell Isak so that they can keep the other player. Like, that, I think it's... They will prioritise selling certain people in order to retain others. And Isak isn't a nailed-on starter for them right now.
No.
He just isn't. So you know, I'd kind of think, okay, we've got Oyarzabal, we've got Portu, we've got William Jose. Like, maybe I'm willing to sell Isak so that we can continue to build in other areas in the squad, even though I don't really want to.
Well, you kind of saw where I was going with that, right? Like, the Andre Silva thing, like, players whose reputation has taken a hit at big clubs. He obviously had that spell at Dortmund that came with a lot of hype. And then when it didn't quite happen for him, a lot of people called on him. Like you said, a couple appearances from the bench this season, but still 3 goal involvements and 6 starts, and a real, like, just physically gifted player. I don't think there's a lot of players sort of like him out there. So yeah, and Brendan Rodgers does have a good track record, and this is going back to Leicester, not necessarily Brighton now, of developing young talent, or at least getting young talent to believe that he is the man that is going to take them to the next level. So maybe, yeah, maybe Sociedad will be pillaged if they carry on like this. But like you said, they might be happy to, because this is kind of unforeseen territory for them, right?
Yeah, and they might as well, you know, benefit from the fact that people like Mikel Merino have already played in the Premier League and in the Bundesliga and have been perceived, rightly or wrongly, as flops. I mean, the same thing happened with Florian Thauvin. Like, I mean, obviously he's had his injury issues, but Marseille wouldn't have kept him for nearly so long if he hadn't already gone to Newcastle and gone back to France. Like, I think often when a player has that, as we know, the press and the fans just decide that so-and-so is, like, not cut out for the Premier League. Mm. And often you're kind of in quite a good situation there, because then you just don't have these teams coming over and taking a gamble. I think that's what's helped Lyon retain Memphis Depay for so long as well
as
injuries.
Mariano at Real Madrid? Sorry, just a really random thought. I was kind of thinking along the Lyon lines there.
I sort of thought you were going to talk about Mariano when you were introducing Moise Kean. When you talked about, like, kind of undervalued players not being used correctly at big sides.
We got there eventually.
Mariano.
But yeah, Mariano, I was just thinking, like, Barcelona, Real Madrid. I mean, Barcelona are much more guilty of not using talent correctly, right? Real Madrid have cut their losses with people like James Rodriguez, probably rightly so, you know, this season to free up some wages. But you kind of forget Jovic, Mariano exist at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, Mariano scored the other day, maybe against Villarreal or someone. He scored recently.
Yeah.
But I don't really know what's going on there. You know, I was thinking about this recently as well, because obviously Arsenal have been linked to Dominic Szoboszlai, and then there were rumours that Real Madrid might be interested. And I was like, well, if Real Madrid, I don't think they are. I think he'll probably go to Leipzig. But if Real Madrid buy an attacking midfielder, you obviously go and get Odegaard off them. Like, I mean, it's just really simple. But they've been kind of
still
all over
as well, isn't he? Like, is he for a club
you wouldn't
like
sign him though, would you?
I mean, for the right size club, again, like, not if I'm a top four club at the moment. And he's someone, we've spoke about the number 10, like Bruno Fernandes kind of being the prototype number 10 for what you want in the Premier League right now. Someone who will put up three tackles and interceptions, someone that will press like hell. And Isco isn't that player, is he? But I don't know, he still might be worth a punt if you're a middling team. But no, going back to sort of Mariano and Jovic, how much do you think that actually cost realistically this January or this summer? I could see both going on the cheap, just Real Madrid cutting their losses.
Yeah, I think Mariano in particular could go for very little. I could see him going for sub 20 mil. When you think of the price point they sold Hakimi for, you know, and the fact that they kind of let James go just to get wages off the books.
Yeah.
Jovic is more difficult because Jovic has bigger wages and they paid quite a lot for him quite recently. But again, you know, I think if a club like Arsenal or somebody said, you know, we want Jovic off you and we're going to pay you like, I don't know, what did they pay? 50 mil? We're going to pay you like 30, 35. I think Real Madrid would probably take it, you know, just because when you hear the rumours about them now, maybe they don't take it in January, but when you hear about them going from Mbappe next summer and maybe Haaland the summer after, I mean, I don't think any of us see Jovic as a starter there in the long term. And it's very clear that Zidane doesn't see that either. So unless Jovic is happy to just sit on the bench and pick up his paycheck, I think that he could probably be had.
Well, Eden Hazard, like, out injured. Gareth Bale, of course, sent out on loan. And Jovic is still struggling for a starting position. It's super damning, isn't it? And a waste of what was a really kind of interesting raw product there, right? We spent the best part of 6 months before Jovic moved touting him for clubs left, right and centre. But I think Rafa Mir, before I forget, at Huesca, I found myself watching a compilation of his about a week and a half ago. 23-year-old is sort of like in the top five goal scoring wise right now in La Liga. Might be worth a little look if you're someone like Brighton and you've got quite an expansive, you know, scouting mindset, let's say. But yeah, I don't think I have any more forward options for under that 30 mil mark.
Okay. Well, shall we move on to another question then? Because Andrew Helberg was interested to see if we had any interesting shouts for some of the players who are currently injured in the Premier League. So obviously Luca Dean is out long term. Coleman's been out a bit as well. O'Connell, Aguero and Jesus have spent time out. Pretty much the entire Liverpool defence have been sidelined at some stage or another. We've now obviously got Raul Jimenez, who's in hospital, recovering from that horrible skull fracture. So there are a lot of teams who might be looking to cover for pretty key players going into the January window. And we're very close there to that now. So I don't know if any of those pop out at you or you've got any shouts in given positions.
We did this a little bit on Sunday Vibes, didn't we? So I put Mohamed Samakhin from Strasbourg down for Liverpool. Not because he necessarily profiles like Virgil van Dijk, but I just think he is one of the best emerging young centre-halves from Ligue 1 at the moment. And when one of those presents themselves to you, I feel like if they're available for 30 mil, you just get them. Like a lot of teams have been doing of late, you know, particularly Arsenal with Saliba, etc. Standings, I mean, Sheffield United they're bottoming out at the moment right now, aren't they? They need to do something. I'm not quite sure if their problems lay at centre half. So while getting cover for O'Connell might be smart, I actually think that their loan signings were reasonably smart. So they signed the youngster from Chelsea, right? Whose name's escaping me right now.
Ampadu.
Yeah, Ethan Ampadu. Like, I think that was smart and he's looked comfortable in that position. But in the final third is where they're really struggling. Not to take us back to that conversation about attack.
They were very unlucky to lose at the weekend. The game at the weekend, I mean, admittedly, it's against West Brom, who are awful.
Yeah.
But they created an absolute ton of chances. And to be honest, they should have won the game. Like, so that would make me feel a bit more optimistic in that they created chances. But on the other hand, it's against a side who have given up big chances against everyone they've played this season. And I don't know, I find it extremely hard. Like, in a way, I find it hard with Sheffield United because I feel like they could upgrade decide in almost every position, really. Like, I think the centre backs are fine. I think that Sander Berge is obviously a very good midfielder. But the rest of it is just a lot of championship guys, in my view.
Yeah, and they might want to go to the championship, you know, to help alleviate some of their problems. It's a market that they've utilised very well in the past. Chris Wilder has, you know, pretty much unparalleled knowledge of the English pyramid. So Adam Armstrong is obviously playing really, really well at Blackburn right now. I think he's a top goal scorer at the moment, isn't he, with 13?
Yeah.
He's not necessarily an out-and-out forward, although he is taking over 5 shots per 90, which is absolutely insane. So it might be worth getting someone who's running really hot in the championship, who's... Would you have to overpay for them? Because they've already paid 25 mil, haven't they?
For
Rhian Brewster from Liverpool. So
yeah,
do they have that money to play with? Or is it just a matter of Chris Wilder having to squeeze more out of that attack? Like, it's Sheffield United's a really difficult one, isn't it? Because you don't feel like they've got an awful lot of pull either in January. Like, how do you sell that sort of project at the moment? Or is there anyone else in the championship you think might be worth a punt?
I mean, not who you can get. Like, I mean, like obviously you go to Brentford, you look at Tony and Mbeumo and stuff, but you're not going to get them. Like, I guess that I'd maybe look at other sides in the division and see if there's any wide goal-scoring talent that could be had on loan. So, for instance, there were rumours that Felipe Anderson was going to be sent back from Porto to West Ham. I think if that happens, that would be something that would be worth doing. I'd certainly sniff around the bigger sides and see if anybody can spare you a youngster. But I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure who there is who's good enough. You know, like Arsenal aren't going to let Nketiah go. Chelsea have basically loaned out all their deadwood. It's quite difficult. I mean, I suppose you could go and try and get like Giroud off Chelsea on loan or something. But I don't think that solves your issue either. Like, I mean, in a way, they've got an abundance of centre forwards. They've got Brewster, they've got McBurnie, they've got Sharp, they've got McGoldrick. All these guys are centre forwards, really. And admittedly, because of their formation, the way they play, often there's not much space for like dedicated wingers because their fullbacks get so high up. But I think that that's almost what they're missing. Somebody who is that connection between the midfield and the attack. I just don't see where it is right now. Like, so... I don't know. Like, I think that the problem with the championship as well is that unless you're getting it, you shouldn't just buy like a mediocre guy from the championship. You should only buy like a lights out superstar from the championship.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that Sheffield United can get one of those in January.
Well, I think deviating away from forwards is probably a smart idea. I mean, you look at their chance creation in that side, and John Fleck, who's only started 4 games, is the only player putting up over. One of 3 players putting up over a key pass. You've got John Lundstrom and Sander Berge in there as well, and Sander Berge takes 3 kicks as well, doesn't he? So really, you've got 2 players creating over a chance from open play, probably, in that side. So it might just be a matter of, you know, having a little tinker with the system and perhaps, you know, not being as reliant on their fullbacks. Maybe it's made them a little bit predictable, but then again, you know, I'd have to delve into Sheffield United as a prospect this season to add any weight behind that statement.
The problem I find is that a lot of these clubs in the Premier League, like mid to lower table in the Premier League, is that they are sort of fixated on English football as a source of players. And there's so little value to be had. Like, I think people say like, oh, the championship is full of talent, and the championship is full of talent, but it's not well-priced talent. Like, as a general rule, it's slightly overpriced.
That window changed 2 or 3 years ago, didn't it? Like that,
yeah.
as a bang for buck league, it is no more.
There are still guys to be had. Like, I mean, it's possible that you'd have been able to get Buendia for cheap this summer because I think Norwich were willing to sell somebody. But
Brentford
yeah,
didn't
now
have to pay like 12 mil for Tony, right? Like Brentford, like Celtic weren't willing to match Brentford's bid for League One's top goal scorer. I think now we're looking more towards League One for like around that £10 million price bracket.
Yeah, and I just think that, when you look at the bargains that can be had from other leagues, if you have this attitude of, we want somebody who comes in and speaks English, you know, we want somebody who's like played in the championship, I can sort of understand some of the reasons for doing it. Like, you assume that maybe the adaptation period will be shorter if they speak the language, but you're cutting out such a major source of bargains. Like, look at, like, PSG alone. If you look at the players who've come out of PSG's academy and gone to clubs for either nothing or for very low fees in the last few years, there's Moussa Diaby to Leverkusen, there's Tanguy Kouassi to Bayern Munich, there's Tanguy Koulibaly to Stuttgart, there's Christopher Nkunku to Leipzig, there's now Adil Aouchiche, who's gone off to Saint-Etienne this season, who's now a starter at 18 years old in Ligue 1 and is creating over 3 chances a game in a top league, completing 2.5 dribbles at 18. Now, I understand that you don't want to put all your hopes on an 18-year-old, but you don't have to. Like, if you can pick these guys up for almost nothing or for a compensation fee, Sheffield United clearly have more money to go out and get these players than any of those clubs I've mentioned, except for Bayern and Leipzig. You can go and compete for these players, and if they end up being, you know, ready to start in their first year, then great. If not, they'll remain assets later on, and you've paid almost nothing for them. And it's really strange to me that we see these people coming out of academies, not getting minutes, and then going off to other teams in their league or teams in Germany for relatively little money, when there are teams in the Premier League who, you know, spend like £2 million on like paperclips in a year, and they just refuse to take this sort of gamble. I don't really get this idea that a youngster from, say, one of the best academies in Europe for £2 million is a bigger gamble than paying a £2 million loan fee for somebody from a Premier League side, or overpaying for a guy like Rian Brewster, who might well end up being great, but you've still overpaid for him and you might well get relegated while he's developing.
Yeah, it's like, it goes back to that scenario we've discussed many times, where is Rian Brewster a decent signing at 25 mil? Bit of overpay in there, but it's fine. But it becomes a much worse signing if that is 60-70% of your transfer budget, and you're not able to take these educated risks, like you say, in several other positions. And PSG, I think that will probably make for a really good video, because they're experiencing a bit of a, I feel like they know that at the moment they're the sweet spot for like hemorrhaging talent, as in they are now getting like 8 to 10 mil for their talent, you know, like Manchester United under Fergie, when they would be able to part ways with someone that had played sub 10 first team games, but for a decent fee, because they were perceived to come with a great pedigree. Now, a lot of these guys have gone on to become very good players, you know, after leaving PSG. Obviously, Edouard, who we mentioned, being one of them. I think PSG are like willing to let them go at the moment for 8 to 10 mil because of financial fair play and whatnot. That might change in a couple of years as the project changes. It feels like they're already pivoting away from the mega stars slightly. I don't know if that has anything to do with financial fair play, but I think the Eredivisie is probably once again becoming a little bit neglected, for want of a better phrase, if you know what I mean. Like Brighton going and getting Veltman for under a mil. Like, how often does that happen, where you can go and get a first team ready player for around that price mark? Not a lot. And there's some, I think Calvin Stengs is a really interesting proposition. Alkmaar, obviously one of the smarter clubs in Dutch football at the moment. You know, Billy Bean's an investor there, and they do a lot of their recruitment on from a statistical standpoint. Joey Veerman, I think at Heerenveen, had a little bit of a vested interest in Heerenveen since Ødegaard was there. I know that lovely kit with all the hearts on, kind of pulled at the heartstrings. But they're players who are 21 to 23 that are creating over, you know, 2.5 chances in a really good league for solid mid-table to, you know, to Europa League sides, although I might be doing Alkmaar a disservice there, because I think they were second when the league was called last campaign. So yeah, I think it's probably time for them just to rediscover a little bit of creativity, you know, teams like Sheffield United, let's say, and head over to the Eredivisie, man. Look at the coefficient and just go from leagues 8 to 14 and comb the shit out of them.
Well, yeah, if you want to take a gamble for a low price, which I think is just sensible, like, If I had like 45 million quid and I was kind of mid-table Premier League side, I don't think I'd go and try and get like one superstar. You know, I think I'd say we can get three or four guys who can improve our team for this. And I think that that runs true even for sides up to the level of like, you know, an Arsenal. Like, if you gave me £50 million for Arsenal in January, I wouldn't say let's go and blow it all on Aouar. I would probably say, okay, we can get two to three guys for this, and we need two to three guys. Like, so it's all very well to go and spend a big sum when you've got one significant problem that can be solved very clearly by one particular player. But the majority of the time, that's not true. There are very few teams who are in that position where they've got one issue. And too often as well, we see these sides where they're like, well, we love this player. You know, so like Leicester with Vardy, to some extent, Everton with Lucas Digne as well. Like, I think there's a slight attitude of, well, this is our starter, so why would we go and get somebody else? And it's because if you really rely on that player, you're in serious trouble if they start to age out or if they get injured. Well, I mean, I've got a Lucas Digne replacement potentially.
Nice. Well, I think that's a good place to go next, because like, we've seen the effect it's had on them losing Seamus Coleman, right? So, yeah. Like, now that's happened on the other flank, there does need to be much more pragmatism with like going to get someone who could fill that gap now. Have you got someone you think could chip in straight away, or are they more of a project player?
I think they could probably chip in straight away to some degree. Like, I actually think like Digne is quite overrated. I like him, but he's not overrated in the way that, say, Doucouré is overrated. Where I think Doucouré is actually quite a bad player. But like, it's difficult. But when they got Digne, like, Digne was kind of a gamble as well. Like, he'd obviously had like a pretty mediocre time in Roma. Like, he'd gone to Barcelona and not been a starter. He'd been at PSG and obviously hadn't been a starter there. Or when he wasn't very good.
Yeah, there was definitely an idea that Barcelona was sending all their flops to Everton, who were only too willing to pay, right?
Yeah, and at the time when we kind of criticised the Gomes signing, the Digne signing, people were kind of like, no, Gomes is going to be a star. Well, he isn't. Digne has been good, but like, his importance to the side is almost, it sounds like a weird thing to say, but his importance to the side makes him look better than he is. Like, I think that the way they play plays to his strengths, but I don't think he's an outstanding fullback, particularly not defensively. I mean, he's very good in the air, actually, but 2.8 tackles and interceptions a game. He gets beaten a lot of the time. Like, I mean, it's just not what he does. He's there, really, as an attacking outlet. And so the guy I was looking at as a replacement for him is also an attacking outlet. He's a guy called Federico Di Marco, who's playing for Hellas Verona. He played for them last season, and he's there this season again. He's on loan from Inter.
Right.
And Hellas Verona are quite interesting because they got promoted 2 years ago and then last season finished mid-table, have taken some big scalps. In fact, they beat Atalanta just this last week. So, you know, they have some quite interesting stylistic ticks to them. But Di Marco is 23. Last year, barely started in Serie A. Got 5 starts, still got 3 assists. This year, he's started 7 of 9 so far and has 2 assists. He's at 0.35 expected goals per 90 with 3.3 chances created per game as a fullback, which is pretty insane. 4 passes into the final third, 1.8 into the box a game. So, to put that in context, how often he's passing into the box, he's 18th in Italy between Dries Mertens and Robin Gosens. So this is a guy who's a pretty good attacking passer. Good age, more tackles and interceptions than Digne, about 3.2, which is totally fine. Not great in the air, but like, who cares? I don't know. I think aerial stats are kind of overrated for fullbacks, but I think that these kind of signings would be interesting for a team like Everton. I still can't quite get a handle on Everton's recruitment.
No, and I think Marcel Brand's contract's up for the season, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but he's now being linked with Man United, right? He's been linked with the Man United director of football job. But I think actually a lot of people should be sacking and hiring new directors of football this summer. I think Arsenal should probably sack their director of football. I think Man United should probably hire a director of football. You know, Paul Mitchell's at Monaco now. It'll be interesting after a while there to kind of take stock of how he's got along.
But
I think there are actually quite a few fullbacks around. There's also Zeki Celik at Lille, who's had an amazing start to the season. I think he's making as many tackles a game as the rest of Lille's back four put together. Like, last time I looked, he was at 4.3 tackles a game and 2 interceptions. And he's creating the same number of chances per 90 as Ben Chilwell, like 1.2. Mm. Loads of progressive passes as well. He's also 23. Like, there are interesting fullbacks around. And when they're going to cost you, maybe he'll cost a bit more because he's at Lille and, you know, they're a good side. But when there are fullbacks who are going to cost you between 10 and 20 million euros, that is just not a lot for a Premier League side. Mm. It really isn't. Like, Premier League sides will waste that amount of money constantly.
Yeah, I remember being really annoyed that Celtic missed out on Robert Skov, and then Hoffenheim signed him, right? And then he put like 11 goal contributions up in 29 starts down that left-hand side, not necessarily just a left-back if we're talking a replacement for Digne. But, I mean, he's only started 3 games this season. I'm not sure if he's injured. I'd be lying if I said I was keeping tabs on him. But he's always someone that's consistently put up like a shot and a half, created a, you know, a similar amount of opportunities for other teammates. I just wonder at 24 if he might be worth a sniff after 2 seasons in Germany. But yeah, it's difficult because Luka Digne, yeah, it's an odd profile of player to replace because you're kind of going out there and buying someone who James Rodriguez, you know, he's been brilliant at linking up with him this season. Like, Rodriguez brings him into the game well with loads of progression down that left-hand side. But if you're... I don't know if you change coach or change system, all of a sudden, like, have you been prioritizing the wrong guy? So it's an odd one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Skov is that I would kind of like to see him go back to where he belongs, I think, which is on the right wing. I mean, that was obviously where he was playing at Copenhagen, where he got, you know, he broke the goals record in the league. But I mean, he's paid as a left winger, he's paid as a left wing back, he's paid as a left back. He'd be kind of interesting for them and would give them a little bit of depth in the wide positions when Dean comes back, which might be the sensible move. Get somebody in who is capable of contributing in a different position once one of these guys comes back to fitness. I think that would be smart. Is there anybody else you've got left on your list? Any other players you've scouted out who you think might make interesting suggestions for Premier League sides?
No, I think we've pretty much rattled through them, buddy. How long has this been going for? 47 minutes. Yeah, I'm fresh out. There was one from Tom Wilson asking us to find a signing for Fulham for under £10 million. But I feel that was pretty much the premise of their summer recruitment, right? They signed like 4 or 5 guys on loan. So I feel like they did an okay job. Adebayo, who did they sign from? Was it Sampdoria? Lyon, the centre-half as well.
Yeah, they got Joachim Andersen on loan.
Yeah, I don't really know how to save Fulham, to be perfectly frank.
Yeah, I don't know, because also like things that I do, they've already tried to do. You know, like I would have tried to upgrade the fullbacks in the summer, and they did do that. Mm. I think probably some more attacking depth, like just getting a genuine top 5 league quality wide talent would probably be helpful for them. But I'm not sure where that guy's coming from right now. I think it's going to be a difficult window to try and upgrade those positions. But again, you know, like maybe you go to a Milan or a Sevilla or somebody who you know to be relatively smart, and you find a player who's not playing as much as they'd like and see what you can do.
Yeah, just spend 20 million on 2 forwards that have solid numbers and hope one exceeds expectations, or at least backs up Mitrovic, you know, to an okay degree. But yeah, it feels like there's an air of not resignation, I guess, but inevitability that they're going down. So I can't be asked to come up with someone.
Yeah, well, I think it actually should be quite an interesting January, because a lot of teams are going to be worried about the financial situation. And for once, the financial situation may actually take priority over teams' worries about relegation or whatever. I think some sides, you know, like Arsenal, are definitely going to feel pressure to go out there and buy. And some other sides, maybe like Everton, like Leicester, who can see a real opportunity to cement their place in the top 4 this season, might also think that a strategic signing in January might get them quite a long way. So I'm intrigued to see what happens. We might see some big money move for once.
Mm. Yeah, I hope so. And like we said at the start of the season, there's definitely value for money to be had, because teams aren't middling teams or teams that you know, whose season might be going down the pan aren't in a strong position to negotiate. So I think this, the summer just gone and this winter window are prime opportunity to do some smart business, and maybe we'll have a better indication of who the smarter clubs are at the end of them and who the smarter sporting directors are, like you said, and that might shape football for, you know, the short to medium term in terms of, you know, those guys leading the way at top clubs.
Yeah, should be interesting. Chris, is there anything that you'd like us to point to before we say goodbye?
Sure. I did a really good interview with Gabriel Clark. He was really interesting. Not sure about my interviewing skills in it. I'll leave that to you guys to leave in the comments. And I packaged it totally wrong, Van Straten, to start with. I'm going to confess something, you know, live on this podcast. I titled it something to do with, you know, how to become a documentarian or how to make football documentaries. No one was interested. No one clicked it. Retitled it, Is This England's Most Underrated Manager? Of course, talking about Jack Charlton and the fantastic documentary that came out on him. And, you know, it's gone 4,000 or 5,000 views right now. But I'm doing the film a massive disservice. The documentary is genuinely outstanding. So go and have a little ganders of that.
Thank you. That sounds great. Yeah, well, everybody should go and check that out. A little bit of something different from us for once.
for once.
Well, yeah, no, come on. Same old. Transfer window, please.
Yeah.
I'm just sick of football, man. Can you blame me? Have you watched my team play lately? Thank you very much to everybody for watching / listening. Obviously, if you subscribe to this as an audio podcast, then please go and also subscribe to Football Daily Podcast on YouTube. If you watch it on YouTube, you might also like to get it as an audio podcast. You can listen to it on your run, even though looking outside right now, it is absolutely miserable. So I would not go for a run. Thank you very, very much. And we'll see you all next time. Bye.